We turn in God's Word this morning in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. The verses that we specially consider are verses 12, 14 and 15, 12, 14 and 15, which is Jesus' teaching of us the fifth petition, and then his explanation of one concept when we pray the fifth petition. Let's read the first 15 verses, 1 through 15 of Matthew 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much or for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask of him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Read that far in God's holy and inspired word. To return now to the back of the Psalter, where we find the Heidelberg Catechism and its explanation of the fifth petition in Lord's Day 51. Lord's Day 51, you find that on page 27, page 27 in the back of the Psalter. Which is the fifth petition? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us, poor sinners, our transgressions, nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is our firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. The fifth petition may be one of the most misunderstood petitions in the Lord's Prayer. To us who are familiar with the word forgiveness, we might think that we understand it very clearly. But it is one of the most misunderstood petitions. And therefore, as a misunderstood petition is not prayed with meaning, a misunderstood and meaningless petition. Evidence of that is often that we tack this fifth petition at the end of our prayers as a quick repeat of what we know we should pray for. Without much thought to it, I'm not saying that it is wrong to have it at the end of our prayers, but it can be something we say without meaning, which probably points to the fact that we don't really understand what we are asking for. And you might insist immediately when I say that to start that you already know what the fifth petition means. That's easy, you say, forgive my sins. It's the easiest to understand, you might insist. And so to show you that you may not truly understand what you're asking in the fifth petition, though I pray you do, and I pray that this is just a reminder, I ask you a question. When you pray for God to forgive you, what are you asking God to do for you in the future? What are you asking God to do for you? And you might respond, I am asking God to remove my sins, to take them away. And I follow up your answer with this then. Didn't He already take your sins away? Didn't He already, 2,000 years ago, remove all your sins, past, present, and future, at the cross of Jesus Christ? And if He did, then why are you praying for it again? Come back to my original question, do we really understand what we are praying for when we say, forgive my sins? In addition to that, we often pray the fifth petition without a sorrow for our sins, which makes it meaningless. And often, we are seeking God's forgiveness without thinking about that second part of the fifth petition, our forgiveness of other people. All of which proves that we may not be praying this petition so understandingly or meaningfully. And the prayer is that today we remind ourselves of what this means. Although Jesus already died for us, it should be obvious to us that we do need to pray for forgiveness again. It should be obvious because Jesus tells us to pray for it. When He teaches His disciples here in Matthew 6, He is showing us an outline for prayer, what we need to pray again and again. Not with the exact repetition of those words, but with the concepts that He gives us here in the Lord's Prayer. However, one of the reasons we might not pray for it with our hearts is exactly because we might not feel the need for it. Forgive my sins. Jesus already did that on the cross. Our hearts may say, why do I need to pray for it? And therefore, not seeing a need to pray for it, we don't really pray for it. And so this morning I exhort you on the basis of God's word in the fifth petition, let us first of all understand truly what this petition means. Second, let us pray it with sincerity daily. And third, let us see God actually fulfilling this request in concrete manners, forgiving our sins. Consider with me the prayer for forgiveness. First, forgive us, and then secondly, as we forgive. Just the two parts of this fifth petition, forgive us our debts, and then as we forgive our debtors. Jesus taught us to pray these words of Matthew 6, verse 12, forgive us our debts. And in this first part, there is so much to think about. Hence, there's only two points, because this first point includes so much. Forgive us our debts. It is simple, but it is profound. First, understand with me that this petition is not just a petition. It is a confession. We must be mindful of this when we pray the fifth petition. It is not just asking God for something, though it is that, we'll see in a few moments, but it is admitting to God something. It is acknowledging to God something. The fifth petition is a personal confession. One of the most neglected parts of prayer is confession. And I know that we just recently addressed confession in our series in James a couple of weeks ago, but it is such a neglected part of prayer that we address it again. It is needed. When we enter into our closets, as Jesus says, the most appropriate setting for what Jesus has us pray here in the fifth petition, we are to confess. You say, I do pray. I do pray, you say. Do you pray? I do pray. But when we say, I do pray, we often mean, I do ask God for things. I ask God to do things for me. I am earnest in seeking His help. I do pray. And sometimes we mean by prayer, I do thank and praise God. If we know our Heidelberg Catechism well, we know prayer is the chief part of thanks. And so we say, yes, I pray in requesting and thanking God. But how often do we think of prayer as confessing? Confessing my sins. I laid my heart bare before God and transparently admitted my faults to Him. This, I remind you, is part of praying and praying properly. Confession, we said not long ago, literally means to say the same thing as God. Confession is to say the same thing as God, especially with regard to our sins, its grossness, its vileness, its hatred, its terrible nature. It's to be honest, without guile, without deception, without cover-ups, putting aside the lies that minimize our sins and blame and excuse others. We engage in this unpleasant activity of throwing up out of our soul our confession of sin. Do you struggle with what to pray for? All of us as God's people, I think, in our lives struggle. What should I pray for? What's the content of my prayers? What should I include? I don't know what to say. And here's one antidote to that. Next time you struggle with what to pray, just remember, you have plenty of sins. You won't run out of them to confess before God. We ought not have any lack of material to pray if we remember a confession, or prayer is a confession of sin. It includes that. Jesus shows us that in the fifth petition we are to include a confession of sin not only, but a confession of the seriousness of sin. And that's why He says, pray this, forgive us our debts. Notice four D's, four words that start with D to help you remember us, that helps us confess the seriousness of our sins. First, debt. We're to confess the debt of sin. Jesus doesn't tell us to pray, forgive us our mistakes. Jesus doesn't tell us to pray, forgive us our slip-ups, our blunders. But to help us see and confess the seriousness of our sins, He says, pray, forgive us our debts. That sin is a debt means that for each one of our sins that we commit, we owe something to God. That sin is a debt means that we owe something valuable, something exorbitant to God. Not children, not just a few dollars. For each of our sins, we know an overwhelming, unpayable amount to God. So that even if we were to go out into this world and gather all of the money that there is, all of the silver and gold, and all of the valuable things that people own, and pay that amount to God, we still could not pay for the sin that we have committed. God would still say, no, you owe me more. It is not enough. For each sin, you see, you and I owe an eternal amount of suffering of death. That is Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Not just suffering in our lifetime, but for an eternity. We owe to God each sin, our blood poured out so that we suffer, not just as to our bodies, but our souls, His eternal wrath. That is the debt we owe for each sin. And then think about the many sins. For all those sins, it is unimaginable how much we owe in terms of blood shed and suffering to God. It is the seriousness of our sin which Jesus reveals to us when He calls us to confess sin by calling sin debt. Second, in order to confess the seriousness of sin, we are to confess our sin as departure. Departure from the way, the road that God has called us to walk upon. In the parallel passage of Luke 11, Jesus teaches us to pray the fifth petition this way: forgive us our, and He doesn't use the word debts there, but He uses the word trespasses. And there you need to think in your mind of that picture of walking along a path, and there are boundaries on that path. That path signifies as a picture of walking according to the commandments, the laws of God. And to go on a different path, to walk beyond the boundaries that are along the sides of this path, it are to rebel against God. It's to trespass into sin. And not only to trespass into sin, but to turn our backs against God. That's what sin is. And that word trespass or departure points out the seriousness of sin. The nature of sin is this serious. Especially for you and I as children of God. We can talk about the non-elect, the reprobate, not walking upon the path of God's commandments. That's one thing. That's serious. But for us as children of God, our sins are even more serious if you think about it. Because God has shown much love to us in choosing us from eternity to love us, to have a covenant with us. He has poured grace after grace upon us, blessing after blessing through our life. And He says, love me back. Walk according to this path that I have set within the boundaries of my law. And what do? When we sin, we say, I don't care if you have loved me. I'm not loving you. I'm going to depart and trespass upon the path that Thou hast forbidden. That's sin. It is debt, it is departure that we confess. Jesus calls us to in our fifth petition and third. The Catechism draws out for another way to confess our sin's seriousness. It is depravity that we confess. That depravity which always cleaves to us. You see, people of God, we don't just have sins. We are sinners. It's a big difference. We don't just have sins. You and I are sinners. We have that old man of sin within us that only wants to do evil, hates God, cannot do anything good. Yes, we have the new man as regenerate people of God. Don't forget that either. But that old nature, that sinful nature within us, continues to spew forth filth so that it taints our best works, even when we confess our sins to God, tainting that work. Depravity. And finally, the seriousness of sin expressed not only debt, departure, and depravity, but fourth, in the details of our sins. This is confession. In both Matthew 6 and Luke 11, Jesus teaches us to pray in the plural, forgive us our debts, trespasses, many. Not singular, but many. When he teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins, remember, he is not calling us to pray this verbatim, though we may. He's not calling us to parrot what he has said. But we are to tell God, he means, of our specific sins, plural. Not just my outward lying or my outward speaking of his name in vain or my outward lack of attendance upon worship, but my inward motives and my inward distractions and my inward lusts and my inward bitterness and unbelief that no one else can see except for God and me. Confession of the seriousness of sin, Jesus teaches us in the fifth petition, includes a confession of the debt, the departure, the depravity, and the details of my sin. And many of you hear this, perhaps, and say, but then you're telling us to depress ourselves, are you not? You're telling us to wallow in our sins, are you not? No. No. Because, people of God, there is a huge difference. There's a big difference between wallowing in your sin and confessing sin. And here's the big difference. Wallowing in your sin is to talk to yourself about your sin. Confessing your sin is to talk to God about your sin. A big difference. Because in talking to yourself about your sin, there is no forgiveness. There is only more guilt. But in bringing to God your sin, in all of its debt and departure and depravity and details, there is infinite forgiveness. Free. And there is joy and peace. And so in coming with that confession, we pray, forgive. Consider that request. Forgive. Literally, the word forgive means to dismiss, to send away, to cast away. Here's what we're asking God. I use the words of Psalm 51, verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. This is what we're asking God. And when we say, forgive me, cast me not away. Don't send me away from thy presence. Don't send me as a husband. Don't send me, thy wife, away. As adulterous as I may be with my sin, don't send me away. Keep me. Please, oh God, send my sin away. Send my debt, my depravity, my departures, and my details, all my sin away. Cast my sinfulness to the depths of the sea. Forgive me means send my sins away. Be pleased, as the Catechism says, for the sake of Christ's blood, for the sake of Christ's blood alone, not to impute to me, poor sinner, my transgressions, for Jesus' sake. Because He took that debt that I owe for all my sins. Because He suffered that punishment for my sins. Now forgive me for His sake. But here's where we get to that question. We face that question head on that we asked in the introduction. Remember that question? If Jesus, 2,000 years ago, has already suffered for all our sins, past, present, and future, why are we asking God to forgive us? Are we asking Him to do something again? And here's the Roman Catholic answer, sadly. The Roman Catholic answer is this. Yes, we're asking God to take away our sins again, like He did at the cross 2,000 years ago. We're asking God to bring us to the Mass, where we have a re-sacrifice of Jesus again. Because at each Mass, there is a sacrifice to take away our past sins. But then if we commit more sins after Mass, there must be another Mass to cover those sins, another sacrifice, again and again. And the fifth petition, according to the Roman Catholic, is that at Mass, God will take away our sins again through another crucifixion. And we reply, no. That is not what we're praying for in the fifth petition. That is not what is happening at the Lord's Supper. That is an attack against the sufficiency of the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross when He said, "It is finished." It's a denial of God's word, Hebrews 10, verse 14, "For by one offering hath He perfected forever them that are sanctified." We're not asking for atonement again. That is done. Well, we're back to the same question then. If we're not asking for Christ to be sacrificed again, to cover our sins again in that way, what are we asking for? This. If you don't remember anything else from the sermon, this is what you must remember. It starts with another D. We're asking God to declare. We're asking God to declare to our souls that He is sending away our sins because of Christ. We're asking God to declare with His voice, with His word, to our souls, "I send your sins away." To illustrate, think about a teacher dismissing his students from his class or her class. The teacher, children, is not quiet when he dismisses you or she dismisses you from the classroom. She doesn't just nod her head. She doesn't just say, "It's understood." In fact, even after the bell rings, the teacher says, "No, no, no, you don't get up until I say. I declare, class is dismissed." A dismissal, as this word "forgive" literally means, includes and especially includes a declaration. And then I'll go from that illustration of a teacher to the more appropriate illustration of a judge. The judge in the courtroom, which is what forgiveness is about. What a judge says. In the courtroom, the judge does not remain quiet. In the courtroom, especially when there is someone who is convicted of sin, and the judge wants to declare pardon of that sin, he doesn't keep quiet. But he declares publicly, he speaks, "Not guilty. I don't send you to jail, but I send your sins away." It's a powerful word of the judge. The scripture uses other words to describe this forgiveness. Justify, it's the same word, or another word that refers to the same idea of forgiveness. God's justification is God's declaration, "Just as if you have never sinned, and just as if you have obeyed all my commandments." Or the word that the catechism uses, another biblical word, "impute." I impute to you not your sins, but I impute your sins to Christ, and I impute Christ's righteousness to you. It is to declare that. When we pray, therefore, "Forgive my sins," or "Forgive my debts," We're asking God to do something with His mouth, as it were, and to speak to us in such a way that we don't just hear Him say it with our ears, but we feel Him say it in our hearts. The Catechism uses that terminology. So as we feel this, we feel this evidence of Thy grace in our hearts. Feeling's not a bad word. Religion is not only about feelings, but it includes feelings. That we hear God say that to our hearts and we feel Him say it to our hearts. We're not just asking God to remind us of it intellectually, but to assure us of that with His voice. Yes, I forgive you. We're asking God in the fifth petition to say it not only so that our ears pick up His voice, but our hearts feel the peace of this forgiveness. So then what do we pray for concretely? Very practically, people of God, you're praying that when you come to church, and when you sit under the preaching, when a man speaks, you hear from his word, not just a man speaking. Yes, you hear a man speaking also, but you hear also God take that word coming forth from a man's lips, takes that word by His Spirit and drives it into your hearts, impacting your heart in a real way. You're praying for that. So you're sure He forgives you. You're praying that when the sacraments come at the Lord's table and at baptism, that these pictures come to your eyes, not only so that you can register in your brain, yes, that's a picture, yes, that's a reminder, but that these sacraments come and the Spirit takes the word with the sacrament of God, declaring to you, yes, your sins are washed away in the broken body and shed blood of Christ. Yes, your sins are washed away by the water, living water, coming from Christ. And as you read your Bible on your own, you're praying, let the words that I read on the pages not just remain there, but let the words be heard by my heart that God forgives me. Let me hear Jesus say, as He said to that adulterous woman, neither do I condemn you. Let me hear with my heart Jesus say to me, as He said to that man on a stretcher, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You're praying for that. That voice of God to reverberate in your soul. That when His word, whenever His word is present, whether we sing His word or we meditate and think His word, even if it's not on the page in front of us, we can hear Jesus' voice say about my own particular depravity and my own particular details of sin, it is finished. It is forgiven. That sin that I feel so gross and ashamed about is gone. Do you need this? Do you need this, people of God? I pray you see you need this, and you need this desperately. Because, people of God, every day, every week we go forth and sin attacks us again. And if you and I are not praying for this sincerely, desiring for God's voice to speak to your soul, then your ears are deaf and your hearts are numb and you aren't hearing Him. And that has great repercussions. It brings great depression. It brings a weight upon your shoulders. So that though Christ has died for you, I'm not calling you to doubt it. though Christ has died for you, and you can never lose that salvation, you go through life feeling as he hasn't. You and I need to hear his voice. This is the reason, people of God, why we struggle with shame, why we struggle with constant guilt, whether it be about the little things we don't get done in our house, or it be the great things that we have neglected in our past. This is why we get in turmoil with our guilt and frustrated and anxious in a frenzied life, trying always to measure up to a standard that other people are setting in our lives, because we don't hear God say, "I forgive you. You're white as snow, just as if you have never sinned." Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Pray, and you will hear. Forgive us our debts. And along with that profound petition, Jesus teaches us to pray also, as we forgive our debtors. What Jesus does in this second part of the petition, by attaching this phrase, is this. He makes it impossible for our hearts to pray the first part, forgive our debts, if we're unwilling to forgive our neighbor. He makes it impossible for us to pray for forgiveness sincerely unless we have a willingness to forgive our neighbor. Two ways, briefly. The word us or and our, first person plural pronouns. Forgive us our debts, forgive our debts. Not forgive my debts, forgive me my debts, but forgive us our debts. Us, our refers, look around you, at the other members in your church here at Cornerstone. That's us. Look at other true churches of Jesus Christ where there are other brothers and sisters. That's us, the universal church of Jesus Christ. What you're praying in the fifth petition and what Jesus says you are to pray when you're praying for your own personal forgiveness is this: forgive us together. So I ask, is it possible? Think about this. Is it possible for you to pray for God to forgive us, the people here at Cornerstone, their sins, and their sins against you too? God, forgive them along with me. And your heart say at the same time, but I'm not willing to forgive them. Is that possible? No, not sincerely. If you and I really want God to forgive them, which, by the way, sin is against God more than it is against me and you. If we really want God to forgive them, then we would also want to forgive them ourselves. Secondly, notice not only that first person plural, but the word as. This is the most striking. Forgive us as. As does not mean when. Forgive us when we forgive our neighbor or our debtors, but forgive. Like, as means like, in comparison to my forgiveness of my neighbor, like that, forgive me. Impossible to really pray for forgiveness if we are not forgiving others, therefore. In fact, if we aren't willing to forgive our neighbor, who is repentant, yes, there needs to be repentance, but if we're unwilling to forgive our neighbor, what we're saying in the fifth petition is, Father, don't forgive me. If we say, I'm not willing to forgive him, I'm not willing to forgive her because of his sin, her sin against me, then we're saying, God, forgive me the same way. Just as I refuse to forgive my neighbor, forgive me. If we say, I forgive you to our neighbor, but we don't really mean it, we hold a grudge, then we're saying in the fifth petition, Lord, do the same to me, lie to me also. Say to me, I forgive you, but don't really do that in your heart. Forgive as, or forgive my neighbor. Jesus makes it impossible to pray, really, for forgiveness. If there is no, as the Catechism says, if there is no firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. Do not misunderstand. Jesus is not saying that his forgiveness of us depends on our forgiveness of others. It might seem that way in verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. No, he is not saying, and that should be obvious to us, that we obtain or gain or earn his forgiveness of us by our forgiveness of others. That would be works righteousness. That would be salvation based upon our work. That's not the gospel. But what is Jesus talking about positively here? He's talking about someone who already has forgiveness as a believer. Someone who has believed, someone who has heard God speak to him, I forgive you, before, through faith. Notice verses 14 and 15 says, your heavenly Father. Even when he says God will not forgive you, he says your heavenly Father will not forgive you. He's talking about a saved, justified child of God. Like you and me. He's talking about a saved, justified child of God like you and me. Who backslide into sin, not only, not merely sins of adultery perhaps, or sins of stealing or other gross sin, but we backslide into this sin. We all often think of it as a sin, but we backslide into this sin. An unwillingness to forgive, which becomes bitterness in our hearts. And it is the case, people of God, that when we are unwilling to forgive and continue impenitent in that sin or any other sin, impenitent in that sin, that God won't let us pray for our own forgiveness. That's the fifth petition. It's impossible to. And God also then withholds from us to hear his voice declare to us, I forgive you. And so I close with this question. How is your heart? Because it's the heart that matters. How is your heart? Is there in your heart faith today? If not, I call you to that faith. Faith that trusts in Christ and his finished work and desires to hear and does hear God say to you, I forgive you. Do you hear his voice? I dismiss all your sin. And then, if you know that you have heard him. Then I say to you, how's your heart? Because a forgiven heart who has heard him is a forgiving heart that will show him. A heart that has experienced his grace is a heart that will show his grace. A heart that knows the gospel will then present the gospel, as difficult as it is at times, by saying the same thing that God says to me. I forgive you also. Let us pray. Father, if we have not this faith, give us that faith. Faith like ears to hear thy voice. Speak to us the forgiveness paid for by Jesus alone. And if we have faith already, but have backslidden, give us faith again, stronger faith, a repenting faith, so that out of that faith we may pray as Jesus has taught us to pray, confessing our own sins, including our sin of unwillingness to forgive, and with a firm resolution welling up within us and knowing our forgiveness, may also forgive our neighbor. May thy assuring word be a power in us unto displaying that gospel of grace for thy glory. Amen.